This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
It's Fun Kids. You're listening to Dan. Big news. The most monstrous place to stay is back. There's a brand new Nothing to See Here hotel book out. It's number 3. It's called Seeing is Believing. And the author, Stephen Butler, is in the studio. Stephen, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good stuff. Nice to see you.
Lovely to see you. So, the most monstrous place to stay in the world. if I was going on holiday there, you, as a travel agent, why should I stay at the Nothing to See Here hotel?
Well, you couldn't, sadly. You wouldn't be able to see it because you're a human. But yeah, it's the most popular place for magicals in the whole world. So, yes, they're all flooding to Brighton for the summer.
And this is the third book.
Yep.
So just kind of take us through what we might have missed in the first two so far.
Number one introduces the hotel and the family. The main character is a little boy called Frankie Bannister, who's a little mixed species child. He's a quarter troll. He's got a great-great-great-grandmother who's a troll. And yeah, so book one sees the arrival of a goblin prince who comes to stay with his massive entourage and causes complete havoc. And there's a lot of plot twists, but I'm not going to tell you what they are. And then number two is set right in the middle of the summer, and it's the magical new year. They have theirs on the longest day of the summer, and all the celebrations are ruined when a family of yetis show up, and they travel. Yetis travel by blizzard. And they arrive and cover the whole of Brighton in snow. And so the summer holiday is ruined. And again, lots of plot twists, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. And then book three sees the arrival. I can tell you this. It's not really. Wait, this isn't a spoiler. It sees the arrival of great, great, great granddad Abraham's ghost. And great, great, great granddad Abraham, it's not very easy to say, built the hotel with Rigurgita, who was his troll wife. And his ghost comes back and opens up a whole underwater half of the hotel that they didn't know existed. And there's lots of scary things waiting for them at the bottom of the sea.
Because it's great, 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 great grandpa's birthday, isn't it? It starts with a party. Talk us through what a monster kind of ghostly birthday party would be like.
Well, in my books, there's a party in every single book. I decided quite a long time ago that magicals love to celebrate. So there's always a party. Book four that I'm writing now opens with a party. So, they're always celebrating. There's always room. There's always room and reason for food and drink.
And if you can, what's the favourite, very quickly, what's the favourite party food? A monstery birthday party,
what
do you think?
Oh, gosh, there's loads. In book two, there's a huge dinner party and there's, oh, God, millions of things. I can't think of any off the top of my head now. There's termite trifle and curried mud whifflers and hashed brownies, which I quite like. Yeah.
And in the new one, you've said we're going under the sea.
Yep.
Seeing is believing. Talk us through what it's like as an author inventing these magical worlds that you can just explore and write such beautiful words in.
I really love it. Each book, I kind of added something new. So book one was very much comedy. And then book two was comedy with a bit of scariness thrown in. And then for book three, I kept those. There's definitely some scariness. There's definitely some comedy. But I tried to add a bit of a sense of kind of wonder as well. So the other half of the hotel exists inside a bubble at the bottom of a huge trench in the ocean in the middle of a massive coral garden. So it was fun to describe.
So three books in now, working with an illustrator who does such incredible drawings, like Stephen Lenton. Has that changed how you write your stories at all so far down the line? Are you kind of thinking more with his pencil in mind?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I wrote the first one before Stephen Lenton was on board. So the characters existed in my head completely differently to how they turned out. And then once you start seeing them, I now write with them in mind, so I know what they look like. So yeah, it definitely changes the way you write. You have more of a cinematic view of it, because I now know exactly what they look like and what they wear and how they move because of Stephen's illustration. So yeah, definitely.
And you said you're writing your fourth book now?
Yep.
What can we expect from that? Where are you going to take us this time? We've been up mountains, we've been under the sea. What's happening for number four?
Oh, I don't want to give too much away, but We're going back to the city of the Barrow Goblins, where Prince Grogbar in book one originally came from. I'm not telling you why or what happens, but yes, we're leaving the hotel properly for the first time. Because obviously, even in the third one, when they're underwater, they're still in part of the hotel. but we're properly leaving the hotel for quite a big chunk of the book.
And what's it like writing these type of stories for you? You've written standalone books before. I know that you're writing books about dogs with James Patterson, and you've done Dennis the Menace stuff. What's it like having this world that is entirely your own creation and you can kind of go with it wherever you'd like?
It's definitely the most fun. I love it because this is the one series I do where I answer to nobody but myself, which is scary as well, because if it turns out that the book is rubbish, then it's my fault. But it's been lovely. My editor, when I first got this job and got this commissioned, basically said kind of do your worst, and so I went creatively nuts all over it. But this is definitely the most Stephen Butler book I've written.
I love that as an adjective, really. It's a Stephen Butler thing.
Yeah.
You're saying going creatively nuts. How do you kind of do that? You know, you're talking about termite trifle earlier on. Do you sit there, you know, with a pen and a paper, having a brainstorm, thinking, right, what insanely wacky things can I dream up for Frankie to do this?
Not so much things like food, but like names. I'm obsessed with naming my characters. And yes, so I've got loads of weird lists of strange words and names. My phone is full of them.
Are there any crazy names that maybe you haven't used and that you won't use that you can kind of drip feed us?
There's a new character in book three that's obviously coming out very, very soon. And her name is Viscera von Tangle, and she's a pisky princess. And then there's a captain of the guard, of the Goblin Guard, that I'm writing at the moment, which obviously won't be out for a while. So this is seriously early news. But my editor hasn't even seen this yet. There's a captain of the Goblin Guard called Gullivantus Grumpwhistle. So he's in there. Yeah.
Viscera. I immediately know what kind of character Viscera is. It's just such a fantastic word just to say, let alone read. Chatting just a few weeks after World Book Day.
Yep.
What's it like as an author to be sent loads of photos from people all around the country that are dressed up as characters that were dreamed up in your head?
It's amazing. It's absolutely wonderful, particularly because I have a real problem with cute. I can't bear the current trends of unicorns and these kind of pretty skippy ballerina fairies. So I had some really lovely ones. Brilliant, particularly from girls, which really pleased me as well. But I had one photograph from a little girl who dressed as Magdalen Maloney, who is the absolutely foul leprechaun from book two. And it made me so happy seeing a little girl with like matted hair and fangs and ugly. She'd drawn massive like wrinkles across her forehead and warts, rather than someone being a pretty pink fairy. It really made me happy. So yeah, it was great.
Amazing. The brand new Nothing to See Here Hotel book is out now. It's number three, Seeing is Believing. You can find out loads more over at funkidslive.com. Stephen Butler, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.